This morning's scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Just two beautiful verses this morning.
So as we were saying at the beginning, we're finishing up a series on the Holy Spirit, which we've called Moving Towards Pentecost, or now we're calling Working Through Pentecost. We've got one more week next week. Last week was Pentecost. But we praise God for his work in us, and particularly this idea of transformation. So for the back of our slides, over these weeks, we've been using celestial images. So this image here, that is the image of the Orion Nebula. And the Orion Nebula is actually a nebula in our galaxy, the Milky Way. And it's a place of transformation. It's a dust cloud where stars are birthed, and you can actually see the Orion Nebula at night with the naked eye, but it just appears as a smudge in the sky. It's sort of a star-like, but it's a smudge, and if you know where to look in the right place, that's the Orion Nebula. It's quite visible, and so even with binoculars, you start picking up some of the color. It's not that far celestially. And so it's a place of transformation, and that's what we are looking at. So we're using that as a symbol, and in the back of our slides as we go through today, that's the image that we're seeing, the Orion Nebula, a place of transformation. We thank Cheryl, by the way, who does a marvelous job on our slides every week. That's amazing, helps a lot. Time of transformation. So this text that we have read and we're going to read again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But the background for it is the story from the Old Testament in Exodus 34. Because in our text today, we're going to see the references to not being veiled or being veiled. And that goes back to Exodus 34, where Moses, you remember Moses, the first time he received the Ten Commandments, he came down the mountain and the people were worshiping idols, and he's so upset that he throws the stone tablets that God had carved, we're told, with the finger of his hand, and they break. They just break all up. No more Ten Commandments. And so at a later date, not that long after, God tells Moses to come back up the mountain, Mount Sinai. He goes up again, and God repeats and writes the Ten Commandments again. And when he comes down bearing the Ten Commandments, his face is so brilliant from being in the presence of God, that the people are actually fearful. They're afraid because they don't quite know what to make of this. Moses is just shining. And so much so that he puts a veil over his face, we're told in those chapters in Exodus, so that the people aren't afraid. And then over time, of course, the brilliance fades and he takes it off. So that's the background for our unit. Being in the brilliance of God. So one day, we will be with God. Joyce Goodwin is already with the Lord recently. And in whatever way she's experiencing that, I'm sure there's a lot of brilliance, a lot of luminosity, because we are before the Father of lights. We're going to see him in a way that's clearer than we get to experience right now. So with that in mind, let me reread the text that we have before us. It's only a couple of verses. Actually, the verse before is also useful. We'll go to that in a minute. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, you see the reference? Unveiled. We have the veil off now. Seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So the first hymn that we sang today, the last verse talked about being changed from glory to glory. It's right out of this text. That's our experience. that we will be transformed even in the here and now, and one day completely. So it's a beautiful couple of verses, and there's a lot in there, and so we try to take the time to look at it a little bit. But it falls into three units. First is that it's not about rules, because there's going to be a reference to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Covenant. It's not about rules, but it's about relationship. So our relationship with God today is not about rules. It's not about some legalistic behavior. It is about a relationship with Him, ultimately in love. That's what we're going to see. So we go back one verse. When one turns to the Lord, in chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." If you read through the context here, it's talking about the old covenant where we're not seeing God clearly. Now we take that veil off, as Moses did, and we see more clearly who Jesus is. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. We are the ones he's talking about there. When the veil is removed. That's meaning when we come to know Jesus. And you'll note the references between the old covenant and the new covenant. In verse 14, reference to the old. And now we're walking in the new, verse 3, 6, 14. It's a big repetition of going from the old covenant, Old Testament if you like, to now the new covenant, the New Testament in Jesus. When one turns to the Lord. So that's an opening statement to us. Have we turned to the Lord? That's the idea here. If we haven't, then this is all hypothetical. But if we turn to the Lord, that's the relationship. In the old, it ended up becoming a legalistic behavior. In the Old Testament, you know, if you read through Leviticus and Numbers and so on, there's lots and lots of rules. You're to do this, eat this food, don't eat this food, keep clean in this way, don't keep clean. I mean, it's just lots. It wasn't meant to be legalistic, but it ended up becoming legalistic. The Old Testament still talks about having a heart that is towards God. David had a heart towards God, we're told. Moses was a friend to God. Abraham heard his voice. So there was always the reference of people coming to God closely, but nevertheless, over time, it tended to become a bit legalistic, following the rules. And we see this primarily with the Pharisees and the scribes in the New Testament when Jesus is interacting with them. You're basing your relationship with God on rules, whether you follow them or are not. If you follow them, everything's cool. If you break them, then you are distanced from God. That's how it ended up becoming. And the problem is whenever we go that way, whether then or now, it distances us from God. If we are following into some form of legalism, it distances us. Because we think somehow it's based on me and my behavior. And if I do all the things right, if I have this long list, this checklist, and I keep them all good, 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 then I'm all good with God. And we can think we're that in that place, but not have a heart relationship with God. So we have to watch this. As religious people, there is a tendency to become legalistic. There's a tendency to see the world in yes or no. And when we go in that yes, do all the checks, then I'm okay with God. But in reality, my heart can be a long way from God, even though my behavior to someone else might seem okay. So legalism was an issue in the Old Testament and can become even in the New Testament. We're not living with veils, not living in the old way. We are brought into a new relationship with God, and that is seen in verse 17. So we come to our text and note what Paul says. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord there is a reference to Christ. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Note that language. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we're no longer under the old covenant. Go back to 14. But their minds were hardened, going back to the days of Moses. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, that same veil is still there. There's the contrast. But for us, 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So in our relationship with Jesus, there is freedom. There is freedom. It's not all about rules. When we start making it rules, we're going the wrong way. A true relationship of love, there is freedom. It is set loose by love. So again, we go back to the royal wedding last week and the preacher who was preaching a powerful sermon. It was all about love. What does Jesus say to the lawyer who comes to them? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Do this, you're cool, he says. Just love. One of the early church fathers said, love God and do what you want. Love God and do what you want. He didn't mean just, you know, act out. But if you're really loving, then you will act in a way that's loving with others. That's it. Love God and do what you want. Early church father. Love. So love is the new covenant. Love is the new way with God. Love is the freedom that we're talking about. So we have to ask ourselves, are we living in this way of love? Now here's where the challenge is. The challenge is, we can hear that, but we can put the veil back on. We can act as if we have a veil, which distances us. So what is a veil? Anything that will keep us separate from God. Anything that keeps us a priority, that becomes a priority that distances us. So one, here we can hear Paul say this. We'll just listen to some quotes from Scripture. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, Paul's saying. Don't do that again. We are free. So don't submit again to slavery in some way. For you did not receive, here's another example, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. Those are examples of Paul saying, hey, we're going back in the old way, we're putting a veil on. So what is a veil? What keeps us from God? I don't know if you've seen the movie All the Money in the World. It's a recent flick. Good movie. Christopher Plummer plays the Paul Getty figure. True story. Interesting. The story is Paul Getty at this point, back in the 70s, was the richest man in the entire world. Had all his money. He had the trains going into the Middle East and shipping all the oil out, so he had a big percentage of all that. He was the richest person in all the world. His grandson is kidnapped, and he's held on ransom for $17 million. He makes that in an hour, $17 million. Paul Getty will not pay the ransom, and his grandson is still there. So what happens? Well, they start negotiating. He won't pay. And finally, they cut off the ear of his grandson, mail it to him, or mail it to those who are involved, and there's his ear. What are you going to do? He's still not going to pay. And only at the very final moment will he pay. Why? Because he loves money so much. Somebody says, you're making so much money, Getty. What will it take for you to stop? What will it take for you to pay? He says, what I want is more. What I want is more money. That's what I want. Well, finally, the young man is released. That's the story. But Getty finally paid $4 million. But what makes it, see, that's something that is between us. That becomes an idol. Money today can become an idol for sure. Can it not? Even for people like us who don't have a lot of money. But we can act as if money is the most important thing in the world. We act that way even though it's not a lot. It can become an idol for us. But it can become pride. It can become jealousy, anything can become that idol that distances us from who God is. So what we're invited to do is to keep going back to God's presence. It's not about rules, it's about relationship, right? So what will make you and me, what will help us to thrive in that relationship with God? Well, we have to make sure the veil is off so we're looking at God and not being stuck in looking at something else. Might not be money, but it may be something totally different. It distances us from God. Paul recognizes that and says that in a variety of places. So keep attending, keep listening, keep hearing God's voice. That's what we're called to do. All right. How do we do that then? Well, this faith is not about stagnancy, it's about growth. And we see that in verse 18. This beautiful verse where Paul says, "And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror." That statement, "and all of us," that's you and me, and all of us who look to Jesus. Anyone here today who looks to Jesus, all of us are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Glory to glory to glory. This is the work of transformation. So it's not stagnancy. It's not accepting a mediocre Christian life. It's one where we want to grow and know development in Him. How do we do that? Ernest Best is a theologian, British. He writes this for us. How do we do that? God is not hidden from us by any veil on our faces or hearts today. We see His unutterable glory. How, we might ask? We see it in Christ when He is preached to us, when we read of Him in Scripture, when we meet Him in the Eucharist or communion. We see it also in our fellow Christians in their love to us and to all men and women. When we see that glory, when we see Christ, we ourselves are changed. When we see Christ in other people, we see the glory of Christ being reflected. And that encourages us, Ernest Best is saying. So it invites us to take on some responsibility so that we want to grow, we want to develop. We are being transformed. Back to Tamara's point, the word that is used there for transformed is metamorpho, which we get morphosis from. Being morphed, transformation, right? So we see the image of the butterfly, clearly metamorphosis there. We see also the dove, perhaps less in that sense, but the freedom of the dove. That's us being changed, changed. It's the same word that's used of Jesus when He is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He is being metamorphosized. He's being transfigured, we usually write it in the English in the translations. It's of Him, but it's also of us. Now, we may not feel that. We may not feel, man, I'm not being transfigured that much. I'm not changing into the butterfly that I want to be. Well, Jesus may see things differently as we are transformed into the image of His Son. The image is the same word that is used in creation. We are made in God's image. Every person on the planet is made in the image of God. But after the fall, we fall in and the image is marred. The image is screwed up because of our propensity to sin. We have this inveterate desire to sin. We have this inveterate desire to put on a veil again. But in Jesus, we are being transformed. We are being made more into the image of God. So when we become to know Christ, we take a big step in knowing Jesus. We are lifted over the human overcast, and we see Jesus. And then we are invited to keep on that road. Keep being developed in Christ. That's the invitation for us. And we see it. We see it in some of our people. In Joyce Goodwin, who just passed. A lovely woman who right up to the end had confidence and trust in who Christ is. Darlene and I were over to see our brother Renford today, last week on Friday. And, you know, we all grow weaker physically a little bit. We'll see a verse in that. But spiritually, we are strong. Brother Renford is strong, man. Praise God. Praise God for what He has done for us. So we see that, do we not? We see that in other people. We are transformed more and more into the image of God. So let's not settle for mediocrity. Let's not settle for a blasé Christian life. We are being developed in Him. That's the invitation. And we know, where does that come from? It comes from Christ's work in us, which is really exciting. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Note, for this comes from the Lord, Christ the Spirit. Christ is doing this work in us, and we're thankful for that. Because many, many times, I don't feel very transfigured. I don't feel very transformed. I feel like the same old Alan I ever was. But I'm trusting that God sees something different because of Jesus. He sees something different in me. He sees something different in you. Now, what is the key here? Paul gives us a suggestion of that in this verse, the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts, note, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How do we become more and more like Christ? Paul gives us a hint, knowledge. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God helps us in this way. So that speaks intellectually, more understanding of who God has done in Christ. It shows the power of reading the Scriptures, of studying it, meditating on it, actually making it part of your life, memorizing it, for the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's not a big chance. It's not completely a mystery. Get in and let God's Word start shaping us, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. But it's also not just intellectual, it's experiential. So someone may not know the Bible real well, but experientially, man, they are leaning on God, trusting in God in the day-to-day, in their everyday, they are leaning. And they have a big experiential knowledge. Knowledge is head, knowledge is heart. So it's both for us. So if we want to become more Christ-like, it's not like it's a big game. Let's try to know more about Him. That is why Paul always goes after the transformation of our minds. Put off the old mind, put on the new mind. Why? Because your mind is your thinking. When your thinking changes, when mind changes, then ultimately our behavior will change because our thinking changes. So let the knowledge of Christ, the glory of the Lord, become ours. Baptists were known, you know what I mean, to be people of the book. They died for the Bible. You know that, eh? Honestly, they died because they wanted their own scriptures and to read it and to have it. They died at the hands of other Christians. We have a messy background. We have a messy history as the church. Baptists were reformers. And people don't always like Reformation. And so they were killed, primarily because of their commitment to the Word of God in their own language. So we have it now. So we're invited to let it be part of who we are. Beautiful. So it's an invitation to grow. How? To allow the fruit of the Spirit to be more and more a part of our lives. You read Galatians 5, 22, 23. 9 fruit of the Spirit. They describe who we are. Love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, self-control, on and on and on. That describes who we are. So we are to open up like a flower, opening up. You got a garden, you probably see some flowers that are opening up. That's what we are to do. The 9 gifts, fruit of the Spirit, they are ours. And then use your gifts. It's all part of this development piece. Let's not settle for mediocrity. Let's want to grow. What do you think? I didn't hear an amen. What do you think? I mean, seriously, you know what I mean? Do you want that? Do you want to grow? I mean, it's up to you, finally. It's the work of the Spirit, but man, you got to claim it. I got to claim it. Thirdly, it's not about being hopeless, it's about being hopeful. We're coming to an end. We have hope. We are being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. What a beautiful statement. Glory to glory. Transformed into that hope. You and I will outlive the Orion Nebula. We will be long praising God after the nebula is finally just dissipated and is no longer seen. That's the hope that we have in Christ. That's what eternal life is. So we're to allow that and keep that hope as something that shapes us. And it's God's work in us, as we said, the end of verse 18. His work in us is not based on our achievement, but our desire is part of that. So it's not about rules, it's about relationship. It's not about stagnancy, it's about growth. It's not being about hopeless, but hopeful. That's what Paul is saying. So we do not lose heart. This is the verse I was saying. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. We get older. We don't function so well. We don't work so well anymore, physically. But spiritually, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Ultimately, our cells are breaking down, right? We know they're all going to break down at some point. It's inevitable. But spiritually, our interiority is being renewed. And we're to hang on to that. Keeps going on. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. C.S. Lewis's great essay on the weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Our invitation is to make those words real for us, so they're not just words, but they describe our reality. So, three things we see at the end. Let's nurture our relationship in Jesus. All of us, doesn't matter what age we are, nurture our relationship in Jesus. It's really the number one thing. It's more important than even your career. Nurture your relationship in Jesus. Secondly, commit ourselves to grow in knowledge of Christ. We were at the Tyndale graduation yesterday. Beth was speaking at the graduation. And we were seeing all these graduates. Jason, who's often with us, graduated yesterday. He just lives down the street, in the towers down the street. Graduated from Tyndale. So there were several hundred students all together. The B.Ed. program, blah, 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 graduating. But they're going there because they want somehow to grow in knowledge. That's part of it. That's why you pick that. Do we want to grow in knowledge? Commit ourselves to that. Don't have to go to a school. Our own desire to do that. And then finally, let's live in hope and not despondency. Our world is so down oftentimes. Read the newspaper. Go on the web. See the titles. Every day it's bad news, basically. And so when we read the bad news, we can become despondent. Well, you know what? Bad news is not a surprise. The fact that we see bad news in the newspapers is not a surprise. Jesus says we're going to see lots of bad news. What's surprising is when we see the good news, when we hear stories of light and love. That's good news. And that also is our reality in Jesus. Whatever our circumstances are, whatever yours are, and they're real and they're tough, real hard situations, nevertheless, above the human overcast, in Jesus, we have hope. We need to choose that, right? We need to choose that. We need to hold on. Don't put the veil back on. Take the veil off, man. Throw it away. Bury it somewhere. Put it off. I say that to myself. Put it off, man. Put it off. And put Jesus on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.